Those two songs, they tell the stories of millions of families, millions of them. We all long to be champions, right? We want to win. Winning feels great. For families, we long for a home that is filled with love, stability, and joy. We want to win as families. But the reality of family are oftentimes the words of that song. It's called Broken Home by 5 Seconds of Summer. That's the name of the band, not very summery, I might add, in those lyrics. But that song really reflects the sobering truth. Many families aren't winning. In fact, a lot of families that I know feel like they're losing. Most are just surviving. I know this reality personally. I grew up in a broken home. My brother Keith and I lived through a dad who didn't want us, substance abuse and infidelity in our home, years of being raised by a single mom, and then the chaos of an abusive stepdad for many years. My family was one of those statistics. That was us. The state of the American family right now is challenging. Parents are stressed, stressed financially. Marriages are strained. Teenagers are more connected digitally and more disconnected relationally than ever before. Younger kids being raised more by screens than by parents. Grandparents are retiring in record numbers with a whole lot of time and a whole lot of money on their hands, but many of them wrestle with the feeling of a loss of purpose beyond doting on the grandkids. Families aren't spending time together. Marriage rates are declining. Divorce rates are high, single-parent households are on the rise. Here's the truth. Many families are surviving, not very many are thriving. Whole lot of surviving going on, not a whole lot of thriving. This is where we come in. This is where Crossline steps in. You're sitting in a church that starting today is going all in for the 38,000 families all around us. We believe God has called us to help them win and win with Jesus. That's the calling that he's given to us. What does that mean? That means single parents finding support and hope. Married couples rediscovering intimacy and teamwork. Kids and teenagers growing up in homes where they're loved, discipled, and equipped to flourish. Grandparents living with purpose, prayer, and legacy. Aunts and uncles building into nieces and nephews. Siblings building each other up instead of tearing each other down in the home. We believe God is going to use Crossline to bring breakthrough to families. And let me tell you how many, if you're honest, need a breakthrough. Need a breakthrough in your family. So here's the vision that we're stepping into. We imagine a thriving Greater Winter Garden Horizon West area where every family is supported, connected, and empowered to overcome life's challenges. We picture a city where families grow stronger through faith, authentic community, and the hope of Jesus Christ. That's what we see. We see a community where every family wins and experiences an abundant life. And at the center of it all is this verse that's going to become a cornerstone for our church, John 10:10. We're going to jump into God's word because this verse is really important to the future that God is calling us into, and I want to pray before we get to it. God, thank you for today. And Lord, we just want to just take a moment and just acknowledge the reality that, gosh, family's so important. It matters so much. But so many of us aren't thriving in our families. And Lord, we live in an area where there's not a lot of thriving going on. There's a whole lot of surviving, but not thriving. And so Lord, this morning, would you begin to spark a new dream and a new desire in each one of us? Would you open up our eyes to see and our ears to hear and our hearts to feel what you see and hear and feel and want us to see and hear and feel so that we might do what you're calling us to do, and that is help families win with you. So God, speak to us this morning. Give us a heart and a passion for family and help us to understand and see what our next step might be. In your holy name, amen. All right, so we're going to jump into John 10. Before we get to John 10:10, I need to give you some context. In the beginning of John chapter 10, the Bible, Jesus is talking, and he describes himself as the good shepherd. He says, I'm the good shepherd. And he describes us as, if he's the good shepherd, what are we? The sheep. And if you're like me, you don't know any shepherds, you haven't talked to any shepherds lately, which means the full meaning of this passage might be lost on us, but we can kind of get a lot of it. But the problem is, like, when I think of shepherds, I think of shepherd's pie. That is one of my favorite things to eat. It is like, my wife, it's one of my top five dishes. When she makes it, it is amazing. I mean, you're talking like meat and corn and peas and whatever other stuff she puts in there. And then she tops it with like mashed potatoes. Every now and then, unfortunately, she slips in cauliflower, mashed potatoes, whatever. This is terrible. But it's like, you take that and you add a little bit of Berman's hot sauce, which like I think heaven sent to earth. It's absolutely amazing. And it is like one of my top five dishes. I can't imagine, I love that. It's one of those things where I'm like, man, I could eat this every day. And I really could. And whenever there's leftovers, I eat it. But I eat too much of it 100% of the time. And then I feel bad about myself. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword. But here's the thing. Like Jesus in the beginning of John 10 describes what the sheep do when they're around the good shepherd. He's like, I'm the good shepherd, and you're the sheep. And what do the sheep do when they're around the good shepherd? The sheep, us, we recognize his voice, and we go to him. That's what he says the sheep do. He calls the sheep by name, and he leads them. He walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. If you do a little research, I was watching a video and they were talking about like shepherds in the days of Jesus and sheep. And what would happen is oftentimes multiple shepherds would take their sheep and put them in the same pen at night because it was a little bit cheaper and it would protect them all. Well, what's interesting is what would happen in the morning. And so you've kind of got to understand the context here is in the morning, a shepherd would walk up to the sheep pen and open the gate and call his sheep. And out of all the sheep in the pen, only his sheep would follow him. They would literally walk out of the crowd of sheep. The other sheep would stay there. But his sheep would come out of the flock of sheep and walk out the gate following the shepherd. Why? They knew his voice. They knew his voice. The other sheep, they didn't know that shepherd's voice. They were waiting for their shepherd to show up and call. Fascinating. What a cool picture, right? Like, doesn't that bring alive what Jesus is saying here just a little bit, like in the context of what was going on there? And then in verse 9, John 10, verse 9, Jesus says, yes, I'm the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely, and will find good pastures. And Jesus is very clearly saying, if you want into the kingdom of heaven, he's the only way to get there. And those who enter through Jesus will be saved. But it's not just salvation someday in the future. That's not all that Jesus is talking about. He's like, hey, you wanna know where you're going when you take your last breath on this planet? I'm the way, I'm the only way, I'm the gate. But the sheep who follow me, they're going to freely come and go. They're going to find freedom in this life. You want freedom in your life? It's possible in this life, following Jesus. And then they're going to find good pastures. They're going to be safe and their needs will be met. Not of their own doing, but because they followed the shepherd's voice. And all of what he's describing, all of what Jesus is saying the sheep do is what you and I want. Like, we want to know God. Some of you are in this room or you're watching online because you want to know God and you've looked everywhere and you haven't found him. You're hoping maybe church might have the answer. You want to know God and you want to know what he wants you to do. All of us want to know what God wants us to do. All of us want to have a sense of identity, right? We want to know who we are. We were designed to be told who we are from outside of ourselves. You can't tell yourself who you are. Only something or someone outside of you can tell you that. God designed you that way so he could be the one to tell you who you are. We all long and want this sense of identity, and we want to know who we are. We want to know our purpose. We want to know why we exist. Why are you sucking oxygen from everyone else around you? Why? Why are you here? What is your purpose? And why do you exist? We want to be known by name. We long to be known on the deepest level of who we are. And I'm telling you, that longing that we want to be known by, we want to be known by God. That's the longing of our heart. And then we want to be loved by God. We want to be loved by him. Like Jesus is saying, look, the sheep, when they hear my voice and they know my voice and they follow me, that's what they get. Jesus says, you can find all of that through him. The only downside that I can see to the beginning of chapter 10 is that he calls us sheep, okay? That's the only downside. And if you've done any like sheep research, which I'm a pastor, I've done sheep research. Sheep are a few things. They are dumb, smelly, and they need a shepherd to thrive. That's what sheep are. And then God calls us, Jesus calls us sheep. It's like, well, I don't really like that. Well, let me just tell you. Let's take a look at humans. If you watch humans for very long, myself included, we're dumb. We do dumb things. Raise your hand if you've done something dumb in the last 6 months. Like, get them up there, people. You cannot be that smart. Like, we're dumb. We do dumb things. We make dumb decisions. You know what else we are? Smelly. Raise your hand if you're smelly. Okay, you don't have to do that. You know you are. And it's not that you might smell something like this. It's that you make a mess of your life regularly and that your life stinks at times. It just does. It's part of being human. And you know what else? We desperately need divine help and guidance if we're ever going to succeed. That's just being human. We are sheep. That's the context of Jesus and Jesus the Good Shepherd, and us being sheep. And then we get to verse 10. So all this is kind of leading up to verse 10, where Jesus, in plain language, tells us what Satan's game plan is for your life and what God's plan is for your life. And if you're wondering about Satan, yes, I believe that there is a being named Satan. He is an enemy of our soul. He's an enemy of your soul. And he hates you because God loves you. Do I believe that? Absolutely. Why? Because Jesus did. And Jesus tells us right here, you know what? Satan's got a game plan for your life. And his hatred of God and you, because you are made in the image of God, means Satan has a plan for your life, just like God does. Jesus tells us what that is, John 10:10, the first half. He says the thief, which is one of Satan's names, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Satan's plan, steal, kill, destroy. That's why we struggle so much. Let me just tell you, it's why we struggle with divorce. It's why we have relationship difficulties. It's why there's deceitfulness, abuse, infighting, lying, stealing, drug and alcohol addictions, insecurities, depression, suicide, abortion, human trafficking, murder, rape. Go on down the list of atrocities in our world where we hurt ourselves and harm others. And you will see Satan's playbook. In fact, there's a word in this passage that maybe you've never seen. It kind of jumped out to me this last week, and it's the word only. The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That is his playbook. Satan doesn't take a day off. He doesn't diversify his strategy. He doesn't occasionally sprinkle in something good. His entire agenda, destruction. It's like getting one of those scam emails that look convincing. I used to fall for this early on, but it's those emails that say, click here to claim your free cruise. Like, you remember those? You're like, ooh, free cruise. I won one. This is the best. And then you click on it. Or now you get a text saying your UPS package is arrived and click here to claim it. And you're like going, man, I don't know what I ordered, but I hope it's good. And you don't even know if you ordered something, but you think, man, this is going to be great. You know what the only reason you are getting those for, the only purpose of that email or text is to steal your identity. The only purpose. That's Satan's playbook. He dresses up destruction in attractive packaging, and then when you click yes to his lies, the only outcome is loss. There's a spiritual battle going on under our noses. Part of our job as a church is to kind of say, there's more going on than meets the eye. And Satan has declared war on your family. He is stealing joy in marriages. He is killing intimacy in homes. He is destroying families through addiction, abuse, comparison, and busyness. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But then Jesus gives us his hope and his plan for us. And he says, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. And this verse has always caught my attention because Jesus didn't just come to counter the thief. He came to overwhelm him. Jesus's purpose is that you would have life to the full. And what Jesus is saying, we miss it sometimes, is Jesus is saying, hey, there's life. You have life. Check your pulse. If you're breathing, you're upright, you have life. And kind of everybody gets life that's alive. I don't even know if that's a smart statement, but I just said it. So it must be brilliant. So he says there's life. If you're alive, you have life. And then there's something else that Jesus says, I came to bring. And that's life to the full. In other words, there's being upright. There's going through your day to day. There's going to work and coming home. There's raising kids. There's hopefully retiring someday. And there's life. But then there's something more that is an abundant life. And let me tell you where we're going as a church. For every family that we can get our hands on, that God entrusts to us as a church community, we are selling out, we are betting the farm, we're cashing in all our chips, we're diving headfirst into helping families and every single person in the family from the womb to the tomb have an abundant life in Jesus Christ. That's where we're going. Life to the full in Jesus' name. Do you want that?
Yes.
Yes, these people do. Do all of you want that?
Yes.
You want life to the full in Jesus' name. But let me ask you something about right now, because this is important. Is your life full? Are you living right now life to the full in Jesus' name? Here's what I know about you. I know your schedule's full. I know your head's full of worry and stress and anxiety. I know your garage is full of stuff you don't use and haven't used for years. Maybe even some extra bedrooms are the same. But that seems to be really different than the fullness of life that Jesus says he came to bring us. So for the next 3 years, you want to know what Crossline's going to be doing? You want to know what we're going to be about? For the next 3 years, we're going to be wrestling this down and leaning into this question. Are you living the abundant life that Christ has for you? Are you living the abundant life that Christ has for you? Or is your life defined by an abundance of stuff that will never fully and finally satisfy you? Because most of us, when we think of an abundant life, that's one of the other translations of the Bible. It's like I came to give you life and life abundantly. When we think of the abundant life, we go directly to stuff, don't we? Like, that's just where we go. We're so centered around money and things and stuff that an abundant life, our first thought is the things, like the house, the car, the job, the pool, the outdoor kitchen, which those are very cool. By the way, toys, being comfortable. Like every time we try to cross the goal line of getting the next thing that we think is going to make our life to the full, we kind of get to that goal line and the goal line moves. Like, we've all kind of lived there, right? Well, let's clear up a big misunderstanding. Life to the full, the abundant life, the John 10:10 life. You're going to hear this called a number of things here over the next 3 years. Winning with Jesus. It's not about more square footage. It's not about nicer vacations. It's not about an early retirement. It's not about climbing the corporate ladder. Like, those are fine things. It's not about having a perfect Instagram family portrait that you take 100 times to get the right one and then you still have to adjust it. It's not that. Abundant life in Christ is joy independent of your circumstances. It's just joy that doesn't depend on your circumstances. It's peace in the middle of the chaos of your life. Peace. It's identity that isn't shaken by what other people think. It's purpose that doesn't expire when you hit retirement age. It's legacy that ripples on into eternity. It's authenticity with God in every relationship you have. It's hope for a better today and also a better tomorrow. And let me just tell you, the abundant life is not something that just happens. It's not something that you manufacture. It's something that you enter into through Jesus Christ. He's the gate. He's the gate, not a gate, the gate, the only gate that leads to life to the full. Everything else looks like a door, but it leads to a brick wall. Like, you remember those cartoons? It's like, rah, open the door, bam, you hit a brick wall. That's it. Like, Jesus is the gate that leads to full life. Everything else is a door that leads to a brick wall. And when someone steps through the gate of Jesus Christ, and truly puts God first in their life, that's where God belongs, by the way, first. Like, when you step into relationship with God through Jesus the King, he's the gate to the kingdom, and you put God first, your life begins to fall into order. If God is not first in your life, then your life falls out of order. Now, think about this. You guys know vending machines and bathrooms and whatnot, but let's think of a vending machine. What does it mean when a vending machine has a sign over where you put the money that says out of order? What does that mean? It's broke, right? It's out of order. Things within that machine somehow are sequencing out of order. It's broken. That's what that means. It doesn't work. things are happening out of sequence, it cannot fulfill its purpose. Its helpfulness and ability to function correctly is not possible. Let me just tell you, if God is not first in your life is out of order, and it means the same thing. It's broke. You cannot fulfill the purpose of your life. You cannot fulfill the reason for which God made you. You cannot bring the helpfulness that was designed into you from before you were born into the world around you without God being first and your life being in order. God didn't create you to be a problem for your family and the people around you. He actually created you to be a solution. You realize that? God didn't create you to be a problem. God didn't create you to cause messes everywhere. God didn't create you to be broken. He actually created you to be a solution to the problems in this world and a solution to the problems in your family. And when you surrender to Jesus and God is first and your life is in order, you begin to live a life of significant impact and ultimately multiplication. And let me just tell you, you've got to pursue that. Life to the full isn't about church attendance. Just because you go to church and say you're a Christian doesn't mean you have an abundant life. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you have life to the full. I grew up for many years in a Christian home, and we weren't a winning family. We went to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and any other night they had something going on. We did it all, but we weren't a winning family. My mom loved Jesus, loved us like crazy. She is the bright spot in our lives growing up. But as a family, it felt like all we did was lose. I didn't experience growing up a John 10:10 life growing up in my Christian household. Life to the full is more than church attendance and claiming to be Christian. The abundant life in Jesus has to be pursued, and that's where Crossline's vision collides with Jesus' mission. Life to the full happens when we wholeheartedly pursue Jesus and put God first every day. And let me just describe this. When dads surrender to Jesus, families get stronger. When dads surrender to Jesus, families get stronger. When moms root their identity in Christ, kids grow up more secure in who they are. When teenagers trade TikTok affirmation for God's approval, they become leaders, not followers. When grandparents step into prayer and mentoring, they anchor generations of Christ followers. When families build upon the rock of Jesus Christ, they can weather any storm that comes their way and come out on the other side stronger. That's what we mean by helping families win. Not just survive, but thrive. Not just live life, but have life to the full. That's why this matters so much for us as a church. If we want to help 38,000 families win with Jesus, it starts with our families winning with Jesus. We can't give away what we don't have. You can't lead people to something you haven't been to before. And so it starts here. It starts with your family, you winning with Jesus. The greatest gift you can give your spouse is not a bigger paycheck, a nicer house, or even flowers, even though flowers are beautiful. You know what the biggest gift you can give to your spouse is? Loving Jesus more than you love them. I'll tell you one of the biggest gifts my wife has given me for 27, 28, 29. I'm so old, I've forgotten the amount of years. The biggest gift she's given to me is she loves Jesus more than me. And when things get broken in our relationship, which they do, you know where she goes first? Jesus. When she's struggling with her identity, she doesn't come to me to say, make me feel better, tell me who I am. She goes to the King of Kings and Lords of Lords, whom she loves more than me, and she regains her identity from her Heavenly Father. And then she brings that to me, whole and complete, and I do the same. The biggest gift, if you want to give your spouse a gift, is love Jesus more than you love them. And some of you might be going, I don't even know what that means. Well, that's okay. Over the next 3 years, we're journeying to figure that out. You're going to figure that out. And when, guess what? When you are loved by him, you'll love better your spouse than you've ever been able to on your own. The greatest gift parents you can give your kids isn't private school, it's not travel ball, it's not college savings, it's a heart surrendered to Jesus. Gosh, I wish I could have had two parents in the home growing up that were both surrendered to Jesus. Had one, had my mom. Kids don't need perfect parents. Trust me. They're not getting perfect parents, not in my whole household. But they do need parents who are full of the Spirit of God. That's what they need. Single adults, those of you that are single in the room, the greatest gift you can give your future family is to know the Good Shepherd now. Don't wait until marriage. That's not when the abundant life happens. You can have the abundant life now. Just because you don't have a plus one doesn't mean you're less than one. You're less than whole. You're complete in Jesus now. And you can be. Grandparents, the greatest gift you can give your kids and your grandkids is your prayers, your example, and your wisdom. So pray for them. Like their faith, pray for their faith. Pray for their walk with Jesus. Pray for your grandkids. Pray for their future spouses. Be the anchor of faith in your family line. The greatest gift we have to offer our families and the world around us is a life led by the Spirit. What does that look like? Paul helps us in Galatians 5. He contrasts the life that the thief pushes with the life the Spirit produces. The thief is pushing a life. God's Spirit produces a different life. Galatians 5, written by the Apostle Paul. We studied him over the summer in Galatians, and maybe you remember this from Galatians 5 when we studied that chapter. He says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. He's just talking about this war going on inside of each of us. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. And so when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, when your life gets out of order and God keeps dropping down in the list of priority and other things start taking advantage of that and taking root at the top of the list, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Everything I just listed is the abundance of the world. You want an abundant life, according to the world, I just read what you get. It always overpromises and always underdelivers, right? We know this. But if you let the Holy Spirit guide your life, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You don't even need laws about those things. They're so good. And I want to leave that passage up there because I just want to walk through the real evidence of a John 10:10 life, the abundant life. Because again, what we're saying is we want to go after all 38,000 families in this area so that they might win and win with Jesus. And it starts with us winning with Jesus. Let's just work through this. This is the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. First thing it produces is love. What if your home right now was filled with more love? Love not tied to performance or behavior, but just unconditional love. What if your home was filled with love? What if joy just bubbled up from within your home, where laughter filled your home? Teenagers, what if your greatest source of joy was Jesus and not TikTok? What if your greatest source of joy was Jesus and you brought that into your home instead of a typical teenage attitude and comparison game? Parents, same thing. What if you brought joy into your home because you had it in you It's life by the Spirit. It's what the Holy Spirit produces. Peace. What if your mind was calm and your heart was unshaken even when the bills pile up around you and the stress is at its most? What if you just had peace and that was in your home, in your family? What about patience? Imagine giving grace to your spouse, your kids, and your parents even. And I'm not talking to just the teenagers. I'm talking about, what about you in your 30s, 40s, 50s giving grace and patience to your parents? And instead of snapping, you just breathe, you pray, and you let God's Spirit lead in the moment. Kindness. What if kindness wasn't something you had to muster up, but it was just something that just was ever present inside of you? And kindness filled your home. And your kids couldn't wait to get home because they were going to be met with kindness. And your husband or wife couldn't wait to get home because kindness waited for them. Single guys, dating tip. The Bible says kindness makes you actually look more attractive. So if you struggle on the attractiveness side, just be kind. You'll win. Goodness. What if you had the kind of character where people, when they talked about you and you weren't around, they were just like, they're such a good egg. They're just so good. They're just good people. They have a good family. And that goodness was the goodness of God. Faithfulness, being trustworthy, reliable, the kind of family member that can just be counted on. Like when you say yes, your family knows it's a yes. When you say no, your family knows it's a no. And that's how you live. You're just faithful. You're true. You're honest. Gentleness. What if your house just had gentleness and that was like what it was? Strength under control, a soft answer instead of a sharp one, always. And then self-control. Self-control. Some of you might be going, man, I just wish I had more self-control. Me, I wish I had more self-control. And this is going to sound super simple to you and maybe even dumb, but I'm just telling you, it's a struggle of mine with self-control. I never want to eat after 8 p.m., ever. I can't not do it if there's ice cream in the freezer. I'm just telling you. And you can laugh at that and you can go, oh, that's silly. No, it's not. I don't have self-control in that area of my life and it drives me crazy. Why can't I just say no? Why can't I stop? I pray about that. That's weird, isn't it? God, please. Somebody else, eat the chocolate ice cream. Get it out of our freezer. I don't even like chocolate ice cream. But because it's sweet and I don't like chocolate, after 8 p.m. for some reason, I can't say no. And I just go eat it. It's like if you are sitting here and in any part of your life you're going, I need more self-control. And you struggle with self-control across any spectrum. You know that's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Self-control. God brings self-control to us if he's first. Paul says there's no law against these things. In other words, you'll never regret having more of those things in your life. That's abundant life. It's not just scraping by with just enough. It's living life so full of the Spirit that your cup overflows onto everyone around you. And the only way that happens if you follow Jesus deeper and deeper in devotion to him and become a disciple of his. And let me just say this to you, because I know some of you are sitting here and your family story is a wreck. It's hard right now, and you just feel like it's already a failure. Some of you already feel like you failed. And let me just say, God's not done writing your story yet. Your story's not done. You know when your story's done? When you go into the ground. That's when your story's done. Until then, God still has room, and God still has the ability to rewrite your story, to overwrite your story, or to write the most beautiful thing you've ever heard that you've always dreamed of but didn't know how to attain. So this is the moment that we're stepping into. And let me just tell you what we're stepping into, a season of discipleship. High invitation, high challenge. For the next 3 years, we're not playing church. We're not checking the Sunday box. We're beginning a full court press on a discipleship journey to live out the John 10:10 life to the full abundant life. And here's the truth. If you want abundant life in Christ, you cannot dip your toe in. If you want abundant life, you can't just halfway do it. You've got to dive in. That's the only way to get there. You can't do it halfway. So let me show you something that I learned long ago about discipleship that's going to really become a big deal about where we're going to go as a church, Crossline Church. It's an invitation challenge matrix. So let's go ahead and throw that up there. Now, as you're looking at this, you can see in the middle, it's low invitation, high invitation in the middle. Going across the middle, left to right, is low challenge and high challenge. And so let me just kind of walk you through this invitation challenge matrix. Let's start in the bottom left-hand corner for you. If there is low challenge and low invitation, it leads to bored people with an apathetic culture. You and I will never grow in an environment like that. You just won't. Look up at the top left quadrant. If we ratchet up the invitation but have no challenge, we become just consumers of church, and we have a warm and cozy culture, and some people, this is all they want out of church. Love me, make me feel better, help me be happy. That is not the kind of church we want to be. Bottom right, if you ratchet up the challenge but have no invitation, no relationship, you end up with a bunch of people stressed out, burnt out, and discouraged. These people, I've known so many, many over the years, and you know what ends up? They usually leave the church and they don't go back to church. And then you have where we want to be, and this is the sweet spot of discipleship. It's the sweet spot of life transformation. It is high invitation, high challenge. High invitation, high challenge. Where you're invited deeply into community and challenged to grow, to live out your faith and become a disciple that makes disciples. You need to become a disciple that makes disciples, where you're invited and challenged to surrender your life to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and to grow in your faith alongside other people that are doing the same. And the abundant life that God gives to you overflows to those outside the church and outside of faith, and it brings them into a faith journey that leads them to a 10-10 life as well. Like, that's what you're here for. That's the mission that we're on. Jesus led this way. I'll give you one sentence that he said that is perfect example of the discipling empowered culture that Jesus built around himself. Take up your cross and follow me. High challenge. Taking up your cross. It sucks most of the time. It's hard. Take up your cross. Do the hard thing. Take on the challenge. And do what? Follow me. Come with me. High challenge, high invitation. How did those guys that spent 3 years with Jesus actually be a part of changing the world, dying for their faith? It's because Jesus led them with high challenge and high invitation. So we're going to invite you on a 3-year discipleship journey with us that is full of challenge. Over the next 3 years, we're going to ask you to jump in and take spiritual development classes. One of the first ones that's starting in September is called Soul Care. It is designed to help you work through the difficulties in your life, identify the lies that you believe and the trauma you've experienced, and invite Jesus into the dark parts of your life. And I'm telling you, I don't believe you will find freedom in this life without going through Soul Care or something like it. That's why I want to challenge every single person in this church over the next 3 years to go through Soul Care. You will not get to the abundant life without doing it. I've been through it. I've been through it twice, to be honest with you. Every time I go through it, I find freedom that I didn't know I was lacking. I find healing for things that I forgot happened to me, but I invited Jesus into those moments, and he just brought about healthiness. So that I'm experiencing more of the abundant life. Why? Because I've been through Soul Care. We're going to invite you to do that. Say, if you want to journey with us, you want to be a true disciple, you got to go through Soul Care. We're going to invite you and challenge you to serve here on a regular basis and be a part of the life of this church, not only on Sundays, because some of you might not be able to do that, but you know every day of the week we've got hundreds of families on our property, and you can serve them and invite and introduce yourself to them, meet them, and invite them to come along on the journey. We're still going after the one lost sheep for those of you that have been here. We're just doing it through families and youth sports. We're doing it a little differently. We're still going after the one. We're going to invite you and challenge you to take Financial Peace University and get your finances in order with God's help and in the name of Jesus, and you will have the opportunity to become more generous than you ever thought possible, and you'll realize that it is more blessed to give than receive. We're starting a class called Alpha in a few weeks. It's for new believers or people who haven't stepped across the line of faith, and all believers. It is foundational to understanding our faith in Jesus. I've been through it. It's absolutely amazing. And the challenge is, would you be willing to do that? Crossline 101 is coming up next year, kind of a membership class type deal. Bible 101, Old Testament, New Testament, parenting God's way classes, marriage seminars, retreats, conferences. We're going to invite and challenge you to get into a huddle, a small group of people that does life together, weekly encouraging each other, studying God's word, holding each other accountable, praying for one another. It is uncomfortable at first, but I was just told by the person leading, helping lead our small group this fall, our huddle, that she has an idea for the first meal we're going to eat together. Guess what it's going to be after today's message? Shepherd's pie, baby. I'm so excited. I love my huddle. It's so good. We're going to invite you to serve with our local partner organizations, helping the poor. And you're going to be challenged over the next 3 years to go on a missions trip to a third world country, helping the poor there and telling them about Jesus. And you can do that as a family. You can take your whole family to Nicaragua, and I'll tell you, it's worth every ounce of blood, sweat, and tears that you do to make that trip happen because of the life change that happens there. You're going to be invited every week and then challenged to become a true, authentic disciple of Jesus that then turns around and helps make disciples. And let me just tell you, we're going to invite you and challenge you to attend more than you ever attended before, give more than you've ever given, serve more than you've ever served, love the lost more than you've ever loved the lost, invest and invite the lost more than you ever have, lead in the church more than you've ever led before, and win as a family more than you've ever won in Jesus' name. That's the invitation and the challenge. Does that sound like a lot to you? Yes, you can say, how do you do that? That is overwhelming. That doesn't even sound doable. You can't do all the stuff I just mentioned, but you know what you can do? You can take the next step God has for you. So that's the challenge. That's what you can do. Take the next step. God is going to prompt you over the next 5 weeks on a next step. And the challenge is, would you join us and take it? In fact, when you look at this little thing here, you look on the back of your program, you've got three things. Let's get social events, calendar, and then next steps. That's how important this is. God's going to prompt you over the next 5 weeks to take a next step. And the challenge is, are you going to take it? Are you going to take it? High invitation, high challenge. Don't sit on the sidelines and be bored and apathetic when God prompts you, take the next step. Just take it. Make our vision your vision. Helping families win, starting with your own. We are going to disciple people in this next season of ministry. We are going to create an amazing community here, starting with you, and then we're going to invite all of Horizon West and Winter Garden into this movement of Jesus called Crossline. We're uniquely equipped for this. We are positioned in a unique way and area to impact the families of Horizon West and Winter Garden. And with the vision of land, the vision land that God's given us, and the vision of youth sports and beautiful spaces and a church building someday soon, open to all people every day of the week, I'm just telling you, it's already happening. Let me tell you, the purpose of our property that God's given to us is not youth sports. The purpose of our property is not kids. The true heart and the purpose behind the property that God's given, 15 acres and the building that we're going to build, you know what the true purpose is? Families. Families. Who does youth sports? Families. Who's filling our fields right now? Families. Who needs Jesus more than anything else? Families. And who's going to find them? Because we are full of families that are winning with Jesus. And they want what they see happening all around them because they're in our midst on a regular basis. So here's the bottom line. I'll make it simple. We can't do it without you. Mission's too big. It's too important. We can't rest on our laurels and sit still. It starts over the next 5 weeks. We're going to be laying out a roadmap for our church. And so I have a couple questions for you that I want to end with. Will you make this vision your vision? Will you join us in it? Will you sacrifice for the sake of Jesus and for the sake of your family to help them win and then help other people do the same? Because let me tell you, Soul Care is 10 weeks. Would you be willing to sacrifice Tuesday evenings for a couple hours for 10 weeks for the possibility that you find freedom in Jesus Christ? Would you give up a couple hours for 10 weeks to find that? Would you give up a couple hours a week to get your finances in order and have your financial situation that you're in be a strength of your life and not something that drags you down? That's what we're asking you to do. Would you sacrifice for the sake of Jesus to help your family win? Do whatever it takes to pursue the 10-10 life and then help us help the 38,000 families God has called us to and plopped us in the middle of so that we might be able to be disciples that make disciples. And if so, take the next step, man. Like, take it. So what do? Take the next step. Over the next 5 weeks, one of them's going to be the one for you. Take it. Do it. Next week, volunteer recruitment lunch, connection events, classes are starting in September, men's and women's ministries are starting up their Bible studies. Over the next 5 weeks, you're going to have the opportunity. And you know what the most important step is in the journey? The first one. Get off your butt and into the game. And for some of you, it starts today by stepping across the line of faith. Would you pray with me? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. And I'll just say this, if you're here today and you have never stepped across the line of faith, never said yes to Jesus and invited him to be the Lord of your life, I just want to give you the opportunity to do it. It's the beginning of life to the full. And you can just kind of say from your heart to his heart, to the heart of God, just say, Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. Today, I give my life to you. I believe you sent your son, Jesus, to die on the cross to pay for my sins. And today I ask you for your forgiveness. Jesus, I invite you into my life to be my Lord and Savior. I commit my life to you. Help me, as much as I understand it, to pursue life to the full. And Jesus, I pray right now for just the families in here that are just honest enough to say right now that although they're Christians, they have a Christian home, they're not winning. They're not winning with you. God, I pray for those families right now that are just like, I don't have life abundantly in Jesus, but I love him. Lord, would you just give them a vision and give us a vision for how to get there? Lord, would you infiltrate our thoughts, our hearts, our minds, our souls to the point where you begin to work your way up to being first in our life so our lives can move from out of order to in order with you leading the charge. And then God, would you just flip on the lights and help us be a light like a city on a hill to the 38,000 families around here that aren't winning either in Jesus' name. And would you use us to draw them to you? In your holy name, amen. We're going to close our service with a song, with one song. It's a new song, and it's called Made for More. And it is just this idea that we are made to not just survive, but thrive. And so as this song's going on, I want you to just let whatever God said to you today kind of sink in. And then as you get comfortable with the lyrics, I want you to sing them and sing them from your heart. So let's stand up together and sing along.